I'm really excited to be back with you guys. It's amazing what the Lord is doing right here, right now, with this church. And we are in the, wrapping up today the Pillars series. And we started off with Omar, and he brought us with What is Scripture? And then Pastor Juan, What is Our Triune God, 3-in-1? Pastor Roger, then last week, talked about Who is Jesus? And today, we're going to be looking at our calling as church community. And why it is so important. Why is it even a core? It's something that our culture really does not like. Like, we actually have a strong avoidance to being known, to being transparent, to being sacrificial. And I'm actually really excited because you're actually created for it. It's not just like this add-on thing of our faith. So, I'm also, I just have the intro Bowls music, like I have ADHD, it is stuck in my head. So this whole time while I'm preaching, it's going to be bang, 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 bang. So I'm going a little fast, that's why I'm all hyped up right now. So, so church community is a fundamental part of our Christian faith. So today we're going to look at Acts 2. And before we do that, I'm going to talk about a little bit of context. So leading right up to verse 42, right before it, here's kind of the context of what we're getting into. Jesus is crucified and then rose again. And then he's like, I will send my spirit to be with you. And then he ascends into heaven. And there's like only 120 believers at this time. Just a small amount of people. And then Pentecost comes. And the Holy Spirit, God sends his Holy Spirit into the lives of these believers. And they're like, speaking in tongues, and people that understand them in their own native languages from all the world, and it's this massive event. And Peter stands up and preaches to this group of people that have gathered. And in so, he preaches, and he quotes Joel, the book of Joel. He was a minor prophet. He wrote a book like 800 years before this. And through the prophet of Joel, he, God prophesied that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit into people. And in through that message, 3,000 people got saved. In verse 41, right before this, 3,000 people were truly saved and baptized. And that's what it leads us right up into today's message. So let's just start reading through. So follow along with me. I sometimes mess up when I'm reading out loud, so if you follow up there, it'll make sure I get everything right. So all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Let's pray really quick. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, we pray that you would show us, reveal in our hearts that you would have us. God, we understand any spiritual work is what you are doing through us, Lord. So please, may we have the courage to be actually real with you, to actually give you a chance today to say, you know what, Lord, like, I will actually listen to what you have to say. And whatever your spirit is doing in our hearts, that we would have the courage to obey and follow. In your name I pray, amen. So we just read that, right? All these believers doing all these super selfish things and like being all one and together, like irregardless of social, economic, demographic. We have the rich, we have the poor, we've got all these different types of people, and they're all just being one together. It's so beautiful, kumbaya, and wow, how unrealistic is that in 2026? You know? Like, we are divided on, like, any major slash super minor issue across everything. You know? It's like, you can't even get, like, a Sox and a Cubs fan in the same room. And we're over here trying to talk about selling our house and giving people a need. Like, I mean, it's just like worlds apart, right? And it's just a crazy, crazy thing that's so foreign to us. But at the same exact time, all of us, everyone, is searching for community. We're like craving community. And we do that through searching for like clubs and teams and family and friend groups, because we are trying to fight against this like constant crushing loneliness that our culture is bringing right and being shoved down our throats. Like our world is just like such a lonely, individualistic place. People say God won't give you more than you can handle. I think the Bible and our life experience says that it's kind of the exact opposite. That we could give us more than we can handle. And that we would have to rely on Him and on others to get through. And there's a famous African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So we want community. We crave it. Why is church community so challenging, you know? We live in the most individual state, okay, can somebody help me with this one? I'm stuck. You know what I'm trying to say, thank you. We live in that culture in the history of the world. There's never been a history that's so stuck in just these little personal silos in human history. And we think our lives are completely unattached from others. And we live that way through all of our special life, not just this. And then we had a little thing called COVID, and we'll go to the next slide. Everyone's beaten it with a dead horse, but the loneliness epidemic is a real thing. And it's had a profound impact on each of us in unique ways. The next slide is Harvard did a study, and I want to read this second paragraph, because I think it's really profound. A lot of us are like, throughout our day-to-day, we're like just focusing on tasks and getting it done and trying to check off the to-do list and kind of focus or whatever, and we're fighting some sort of deep-seated like anxiety or stress, something in our souls that we have a hard time putting words to. And I was actually kind of impressed in this giant study that they did on loneliness. It was wrapped up by a number of people who were part of the study as loneliness described as having plenty of family members around but not feeling appreciated by them, or that another person said that they were surrounded by other people who only are present in my life because I'm useful to them. And I think we feel a lot about that in our lives. A lot of people are around just like, hey, you know, because we provide, because we help, blah, blah, blah. But like, who sees you? Like, maybe you're walking in this room and you're like, I don't know, or you can be pretty honest, nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows the aches and pains that I'm going through. No one knows just like the things I'm longing for, the things I'm just craving for. Like, and for sure, nobody's like helping me through that, helping me see that, or whatever. And if you're like that, you know, like, you're probably normal. Because it's just the normal state of our existence right now. And God did not design it that way. In fact, He has that part of our lives that is crying out, that is, let me loose, like, let me out, is actually a place that God made. God made that to go right into community. And not just any community, but church community. And it seems like everything is trying to keep us from a transparent, authentic, biblical community. We have our pride that's like, I don't need help. I'm going to get through. You know, I'm a self-made man, woman, I'm a whatever. Like, I am going to get through this. I can figure it out. And I don't need help. We have like a fear of being known. Well, if somebody really knew what I was going through or what I was struggling with, like, then maybe it's a fear of rejection, a fear of being known, a fear of being hurt. Maybe you have opened yourself up in the past and you were deeply hurt and now you completely regret it. And you're like, well, no one's going to see that part of my life ever again. That part's staying alive now. And maybe it's just a simple feeling, or just like not wanting to be uncomfortable. We love our comfort. I've had many screaming phases out there right now. It's ridiculous. Like, we love our comfort. We love our bubbles that just work for us and are focused on us. And, you know, I've heard, like, I like Jesus, but I don't really like other Christians. Or, like, can I be a Christian just, like, not really go to church? I mean, you can, but you're definitely not going to be a healthy and or obedient Christian. And if you look at God, God knew from the very beginning. So, like, other religions, you have, like, Buddha or Allah or whatever, and they're just, like, a singular being in their space. You know, Islam, for example, like, Allah created people so that they could worship him, so there would be, you know, like, there's a connection there. God is trying God to cross the line and speak to each other. He had the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit together since the beginning, before the beginning of time. They were complete and in community together, and in that there was no need, there was no lack. He didn't kill humans because he was like, I'm just so lonely. I just need people to worship, you know, like, and that's already God showing us a deep need that God even in himself knew. And he was like, I got you, like that. And so he's already modeling for us. And maybe today you've been walking with God and you still feel beautiful. And that's it. And if you look at Genesis 1, it's something that kind of really has been kind of rocking my world a little bit. In Genesis 1, God created the sun and the stars, and he said it was good. And God created the earth and the land, and he said that there was good, and he said it was good. And he created the animals, and it was good. And he created Adam. And he said, that's not good. That he should be alone. This is before sin. Sin has not entered the world yet. Adam has a 100% perfect, fully connected relationship with God at this point. Unrestrained by sin. And yet, for some reason, God said, it's not good that he is alone. Something God can know somehow is that even though you can have an amazing relationship with him, it's still not good to be alone on earth without other humans knowing. Right? And so, if you're like, if you've just been telling yourself, like, I got me and God, and we're cool, I don't need anybody else, and we're just, I'm going to be on this little island, and we're going to be fine. Like, just know that, like, that's like the opposite of what God has created you for. And you're going to be fighting against God's plan for you as long as you continue to stay in that space. And so we're going to look at how God has put together the church. And even from the very beginning, even in the Old Testament, it starts with the temple, creating a space and instructions for people to come together to worship him and have community and follow the different festivals and all those things. And then in the New Testament, he creates the church as a completion or a culmination of all those things, as a way for us to come together and experience God's love and community. So, let's read verse 42 to 43 one more time. Just, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and in the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Actually, not let this pause right there. Now, let's go to our first slide, actually. Our first title slide. Two more. There it is. So, church community is being committed to learning together. One more time. Church community is being committed to learning together. Let's go to the next slide. Should be verse 32. Yeah. So, they're dedicated to teaching, not just listening. If you come to church and just like, listen to a sermon and just go home, like, that's not what we're talking about. They're dedicated to teaching and to practicing it. You see that there's teaching, fellowship, serving the Lord's Supper, praying, all these amazing fundamental core beliefs that started on the bedrock of actual biblical teaching and learning. Because you can have, or you can try to find God through other avenues, but if it's not founded upon the truths of Scripture, these things that follow can be really crazy. You know, like you can find people praying to all sorts of stuff right now in community. You know, spiritualism is a really big deal. And fellowship, you can have people gathering all together, but it's not founded upon the bedrock of Scripture, what God wants. And if you look at fellowship, the second part, fellowship is using this verse right here, is the very first time in the Bible where it's actually the word fellowship is used. In the Greek it's koinonia, and it often, when we use the word fellowship, we often just get it boiled down to like coffee and pizza. You know, fellowship is coffee and pizza, and or pizza, right? And like, you even have biblical fellowship without coffee and or pizza? Like, I don't even know. Like, I don't know, maybe in the Greek it's koinonia, so coffee, coin, and pizza, mia. I don't know. But actually, in the Greek, it has a much more robust description. Here's some strong concordance. I'm just going to grab a few good pieces of this. But it expresses an active participation in a common life. And at its heart are the ideas of sharing, partnership, communion, and mutual contribution. The term gathers spiritual, relational, and material dimensions to single reality. And it just says here, the life believers hold in common with God through Christ and with one another in the Spirit. Let's go. That's fellowship. That's one of the things that are essential to the church. Let's go to verse 43. And it says, a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And they're like, man, I'm not seeing signs and wonders or something like that. I'm not seeing miracles. I just want you to raise your hand if you are a walking miracle. If your testimony is such a way that you know what God did in my life, because God did in my life is nothing short of a miracle. And just like being here for however long we've been here, like the more and more people I've met, I'm like, God changed you. God changed you. God changed you. God changed me. Like, we are walking testimonies. We are walking miracles, and we need to be able to be excited about what God is doing. Because we are some of the signs of the Holy Spirit right now. The next point is the church community counsels convenience. We love convenience. I love 3-hour Amazon delivery. It's amazing. And I live like super close to an Amazon distribution center, like the whole world does now, apparently. And if it's a 2-day delivery now, I am worked up. Like, I gotta wait 2 days? Like, that's ridiculous. Like, convenience is the name of the game. Let's go to verse 44. And all of these just met together in one place and shared everything they had. Now, we don't like it there. I have a 1.5-year-old who you've seen probably running around. She is decent at staring when she's in the mood and not when she's not, right? Staring is a tough thing, and they met. All believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Meeting together sounds so simple and benign, but a lot of us get hung up on the actual, the actual steps that it takes to meet together. Oh, he lives in that neighborhood, or there's a lot of traffic. It's rush hour. I don't know if I can make it over there. That's going to cost me something. Right? It's going to cost me some time, some gas. Oh man, it's like this train tracks over there. It's going to take me a while. My house is in clean. I can't have people over. Like, you know, we have all these kind of excuses that because all we were met together in one place. They were getting together in a practical sense. And we just come up with constant excuses. And building community is messy and requires patience, vulnerability, and effort to be there. Let's go to the next slide. This community carries us through crisis. Let's look at the next slide, the next couple of verses. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. I'm going to pause here. So this is not a commandment scripture. You don't see this across all things like that. Like, all right, if you have property, you're a landowning individual, you must sell your house and give it to people. No, that's not. Giving is a beautiful thing in the New Testament because it's no longer a regulation, a rule, a command like in the Old Testament, a tithing. It is now something that God wants you to do out of the joy of your heart. You have the opportunity to love and serve and give. And then this, when they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. And this is talking about specifically about money, but you can see throughout all this, this far far more than just a financial gift. They're giving of themselves. And, you know, I always read this verse as me on the needing to sell side, needing to give side. But it said that there was a need, but that means there was people, a community of their community that was in deep need. And, you know, you might be in this room right now and you're like, I'm the one in need. Maybe it's you're going through a deep reset, depression, anxiety, your finances, whatever it is, you have a deep need. And, you know, I always had this first as needing to be the one on the other side, but one day I found out I was the one in need. When Emma and I came back to New Life, we came back really hurt. We had experienced a really serious hurt within the church. And that we came back broken. It was really hard. I wasn't trying to play on stage or do anything. I could just make it to the building. I could just make it in the door. You know, and that was hard enough. And just still fighting with God over God, how could you let this happen to me? How could you allow this hurt to happen? And so just kind of wrestled with the Lord in that, like, you know, and it was really hard. And when we walked in the church, nobody really knew. And we ended up having some time with Pastor Mama Rosa and then Tony and Karina and other people in the church as well, and we were able to tell them kind of what was going on, and just be like, we're really broken, we really need help, and we really need, you know, to be shepherded and taken care of. And the craziest part about it is we were, you know? And I'd like, the healing is crazy. And if you're going through the deepest part of your hurt right now, let me just encourage you, as real as that hurt is, as real as that just whatever is weighing you down so hard, whatever, as real as that is, actual healing from Jesus and his community is even more real. It's even more powerful. And a gentle but firm encouragement to you. If you are in that space, the sad reality is people can't read minds. And if you're just coming to church and frustrated that no one's just, you know, reading your mind and coming and taking care of you, know that you do need to share in order to be careful. Usually, that's typically how it works. So my challenge to you, my encouragement to you is, talk to your pastor, elder, friend, brother, sister in Christ, somebody here, and allow them in. I know it's especially even hurt by others, especially even hurt other people in the church. You know that, like, you've gotten, it's complicated and it's hard. My challenge to you is, it's the only way to be a hurt in community, but you also feel in community. And God has that healing for you today. Let's go to 46. And they worshiped together at the temple each day. They met at home with the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. They shared their meals and found joy and generosity. We're going to stick on 46 for a second. Normally, you don't think of giving and joy and generosity in the same sentence. We think of giving as a burden and as a sacrifice, and the joy is in receiving. I have a story for you. And the story is a very strange one, but it summarizes potentially the most joy I ever felt in my life. I was landscaping in New York, and I was very broke. And I asked for help with a mission trip to Mozambique and South Africa because I needed a Portuguese translator. And I have, I went out back, kind of, you can ask me that story later, but I used to live in Brazil, and my neighbor was Mozambican. And so I reached out to him, like, hey, bro, I'm coming to your country, let's meet up, like, da da da. And it was great, and he's so excited, and I love their family. And he's like, hey, can you buy me some iPhones? Because Mozambique has been going through a civil war for a long time, and by the time actual quality technology makes it into the country and into the stores, it's like 10 to 15 to 20 times extra price. So, then also there, if you take that and also include their significantly lower wages in the country, it's like 100 times different job, right? So he's like, can you please buy an American, you know, like value, and I'll pay you back when you get here. Just an iPhone for him and his wife. It was like in 2016, 2017. And I was like, sure, yeah, for sure, I got you. And so, you know, I'm like digging holes and stuff every day, right? And just, you know, doing my thing. And so I bought him a couple iPhones that were like $300 each used. It was all I could muster up in the time. And I didn't, so I bring him, and as I'm like in the process of heading to my flight, I realized, like, God just put on my heart, dude, I know you don't have that much money right now, but like, this is your gift today. Like, just give it. And I was like, okay, God, like, I got you. And, you know, it hurt a little bit because, again, I was like, super good. Trying to pay the rent, Lord. But he's like, so I was like, okay, Lord, I'll be obedient, right? So I get there, we're hanging out, like, and I'm at his house, my friend Greeny, what's his name? And he's like a 6'5", African man with a voice like Mufasa. It's like awesome. Yeah, he's the man. And so I'm like, hey, bro, like, he's like, how much it cost? And I already told him, like, when I was trying to find out, like, how much money to spend with him. So he knew how much it cost. And I was looking at the way they lived there, and I was like, man, like, it's a gift. And he had it back and forth. He was like, oh, no, no, no. And then I was like, no, seriously, like, don't deny me like this. Like, take the gift. And the dude picked me up like a rag doll, put me on his shoulder, and sprinted out the house, and I'm running across the field, like, flopping over his shoulder like as if I weigh, like, 3 pounds. I'm, like, 175. He shouldn't be able to lift me this easily and run. And the dude just, like, picked up, and he, like, went through a whole field. He was just, like, flopping over his shoulder. I was like, this is crazy. And as strange as that experience was, because, honestly, I've never been picked up by a grown man before, and I probably never will again. I don't know. If you're thinking about it, please don't. No surprise, because I've got the shirt today. The weirdest part was that, as I'm being around, I was filled with so much joy. My heart was, like, almost exploding. Seeing the joy of his experience and knowing that how much I had impacted them on such a thing. And honestly, like, I can't really describe the amount of joy I felt. Like, just even thinking about it makes me, like, a little bit emotional. Like, it's crazy. And if you look at this verse, it says, they worshiped together in the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared meals with great joy and generosity. Like, how often do you think of giving and think, man, what a joy it is? Man, I get to experience the Lord's goodness in my life today, and I get to share that with somebody. And, you know, as we're sharing a little stuff, as we're worshiping together, we get that opportunity on a daily basis. And I just want to challenge you, like, if there's something God's putting on your heart to do, to give, to serve, whether it be emotionally, financially, time, quality time, finances, getting out of your comfort zone, whatever the case may be, just know there's an immense joy there, you know? I mean, you can do that begrudgingly and just have the most miserable time of your life. Like, that's an option, too. But, like, if you give from a place of the Lord's joy, like, it is a special, special thing. So we're going to go into the last verse here, verse 47. And all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who had been saved. They were dancing and praising God and being selfless and receiving, and people were seeing it and being like, I want in. And guys, if you're here today and you don't have this relationship with God, you're you know, hey, I'm super glad you came. You know, if Jesus is not your Savior, and you're like, my goodness, what you're describing right now, I want to feel known. I want to feel seen. I want to feel taken care of. I want to be able to bless others and do these things. God has created us today. And we invite you in to be part of this community, to see and taste that the Lord is good, and come to know Him and be saved. God has, God is working here. He is moving here. There are miracles being done in this very church as we speak, and lives being transformed, and we want to be part of it. And to know God to save you, not just salvation is not just fire insurance from hell. It's not just God came that you may, you know, okay, well, I'm good now, and now I can live the rest of my life. No. But if you go back to the very beginning, that the Holy Spirit came and comes into you, and you get to live your life not just alone in yourself, but with God and with your church community every day as you move forward. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. I should get my wire there, so come on up. In conclusion, as we wrap up, we are called to church community that is costly, that is uncomfortable, but yet that is healing, joyful, anti-loneliness, if that's a word, a community that's based on God that we get to participate in. And as the world grasps for anything that will make them feel less lonely, let's lean on the church, wherever you're at.